I think I'm having an art attack.
Welcome to another episode of Art Attack. I am your host, Bua, and we are here with, of course, Lizzie Dastin, art historian, professor, speaker at Christie's and everywhere else in the world, and an amazing guest. We are blessed to have Ira Schwartz here, a trademark copyright attorney. And Ira, we know that it's beyond just trademark and copyright. Can you explain exactly what type of law you practice?
I usually describe myself as a technology and intellectual property lawyer. So intellectual property traditionally encompasses things like copyrights, trademarks, patents, also covers things like licensing of name, image, and likeness, and that also gets into things like privacy and rights of publicity and things like that. So, and I've just worked with a number of different technology companies over the years, helping them protect their intellectual property rights and helping them figure out how to protect them and commercialize them to some extent. So a lot of licensing and portion of my practice is also enforcing those rights. So we have to sue people and take them to court and make them stop or pay damages if they violated some of our clients' rights.
And with the technology that's moving at hyperspeed and the laws, like, just not getting into it before we really officially get into it, Lizzie, but the laws seem to be not there. I mean, the technology is moving so fast. When you listen to people like Tristan Harris, who, you know, is an expert on AI, he was at Meta for years. He produced The Social Dilemma, opened a lot of our eyes to what was really going on, but it just seems to be moving at such a speed that there are no laws to support what's going on, and it changes daily. How do you deal with that?
That's always been a portion of my practice. If you deal with technology in the last few decades, technology has really been forcing society to change a lot of different ways. And the laws were written for older technology, and trying to figure out how they apply to the new technology has somewhat been a challenge. Part of what makes my practice so fun is to try and develop those new technologies and help people navigate the existing laws. And in some cases, you know, watch the law evolve to help those people and protect the new technologies or the people who are using it.
Yeah. And that's why I'm so excited that we get to have this conversation today, because the new technology or newish technology of AI, and specifically how it relates to art that utilizes AI as a resource, I just think that it's a muddy territory. And I have so many questions about copyright and intellectual property infringement. And I know that you've written on NFT copyrights, Ira. So I'm excited to
about those in the past. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm excited to get to talk to you today. And I have a very rudimentary knowledge of copyright, but from what I understand, ideas can't be copyrighted, but work can be. So for me, as that relates to AI, let's use Justin as an example. So if Bua, if he ideates a work and he uses AI 100% as the mechanism to generate that work, can he copyright it if he's the one who had the idea, but the work itself was generated by this technological resource?
The answer today is no, you cannot get a copyright if some type of machine is responsible for creating the work of art. The Copyright Office has announced that policy a while ago, and that's kind of the black letter law. But with the way AI has been evolving, the Copyright Office has been holding hearings and open listening sessions to get input from all aspects of the public about this. And they're looking at considering whether they should recommend changes in the existing law or updating laws to deal with that. But for a while, the law has always been, it has to be a human-created work in order to qualify for copyright protection. And that goes up back actually before AI. One of the more interesting cases a few years ago involved, I think it's a gorilla or some type of ape, that a photographer dropped his,
Probably the bored ape. Is that what it was or no?
No, this is okay. This is a photographer dropped his camera intentionally in a group where there were some apes in an enclosure. The apes picked up the camera and just started snapping the camera. And this animal named Neruda ended up snapping what's a wonderful picture of himself. He took a selfie. The photographer then claimed to own the copyright, and that as that photograph kind of went viral, and the court said, you didn't take the photograph. The animal took the photograph, and there's no copyright in that photograph because animals can't own copyrights. Taking that principle further, that's the one the Copyright Office has adopted for AI. It doesn't matter whether it's an animal or a machine. Mm-hmm. If the artwork is created by something other than a human, there's no copyright in it.
So, okay. So here's a question then. If Midjourney, whose list was exposed, and they had all these artists on the list, and some of them include people that I know personally. Saber was on that list. Shepard Fairey is on that list. A list that got out to the public and then was, you know, obviously shared. I don't know whether it was legal or not, but it got out there, and we found out that there were 16,000 artists that were machine learned on the artist's work. So that if I type in Shepard Fairey, now I'm not feeding it a Shepard Fairey piece, I'm not feeding it a Saber piece or a Cope 2 piece or whoever's on that list, but if you type in the name, it'll immediately generate any kind of ideation of Shepard Fairey's work that looks like Shepard Fairey. Is that not in itself an infringement because it's been taught to learn them?
I don't know the answer to that. And I don't think at this point anybody knows the answer to that, but the courts are in the process of figuring that out. And that issue has been raised front and center, not only with regard to Midjourney and art AI systems, but also ChatGPT and text-based systems. The case that's gotten, was recently filed and has gotten the most press on this topic is the New York Times has sued OpenAI for exactly this, the fact that their material was used as training material for an AI system. And the question is whether using something to train it is copyright infringement. It certainly looks like it is. They've made copies and they've used that to train it. And generally making copies or using copies without the authority of the copyright owner is classically a trademark infringement. On the other side of the argument is using something for training material, if they don't actually create a copy, is just a fair use. And fair use is a classic copyright defense. There's a lot of factors that go into determining whether something is fair use or not. And that's the argument that's been made in defense of those claims. The other argument that's been made in defense of those claims is whether or not something is transformative. And that's an element in determining fair use. Recently, the Supreme Court came down in the Andy Warhol decision and gave us some guidance on what's transformative. And so the question is the resulting artwork so different in character that's going to be transformative of the work it was trained on and therefore be a fair use? So that dispute is going right now in several different courtrooms, and we don't have any rulings yet. And honestly, from my point of view as a copyright lawyer, if I had to pick one side or the other, I would think that it is kind of a violation of the artist's copyright because they're making commercial use. Mm-hmm. All these AI systems in one version or another, even if they don't charge, are still commercial ventures, or their products are going to be used in commercial purposes. So I think that would kind of weigh against the finding of fair use. So I think there may be copyright infringement, but this is one of those, it's a difficult call. And the argument on the other side goes back to the roots of copyright law, which is like, and the roots of fair use is that we have to have some balance on that. And that if I make such a different use that would be of it or transform it in such a way, and we want to, the purpose of copyright is in the Constitution, the language is to promote innovation. And so the argument is that if you make ChatGPT or OpenAI pay for this, it's going to inhibit that creativity and that innovation. That's the argument.
But personally, that's
I don't think that that's going to fly, but it's going to be a close call and it's going to be heavily debated unless Congress steps in and passes some laws.
So here's another question. Let's use Lizzie as an example. That Lizzie's not machine learned. They don't really know. Whoever was training it didn't learn about Lizzie, but she's a famous artist, let's say. What if 1,000 people, 1,000,000 people took Lizzie's work and put it into Midjourney or DALL-E or one of the AI startups and started to ideate based upon her image? And well, the AI company is not necessarily responsible for that, but they're still allowing it to happen, right? Like, if that's a, so is that against the law? Or, I mean, is that as litigious and nefarious as the other example where they trained on Lizzie? This is not a case of them training Lizzie's work, but Lizzie happens to be popular and every single art student in the world is uploading her piece. Is that?
Yeah. That doesn't really change the analysis much. As strange as it may seem, one of the basics of copyright law is intent is not an element for copyright infringement. I don't have to show that you knowingly copied it or knowingly used it. I just have to show that it actually happened. So no matter how it gets into the system, if her artwork is used in some way and then reproduced or a component of something that was reproduced, that should still be infringement.
Right, because otherwise, you know, in other ways, it would be considered an infringement. It's just right. This new, it feels like the Wild West. Like, it's just totally nuts. And it's not these small little nobody startups. I mean, these are behemoths. Google and Microsoft and Meta, these are monsters. These are people that could definitely afford paying licensing fees and definitely, but they're, you know, from an artist perspective, they're crushing the world. I'm looking at my friends in animation, some of who are production designers, visual development guys, girls, layout, background, whatever area that they're in, some more than others, their jobs are getting affected. There really are. And I guess in a lot of ways, that's kind of what the writer strike was about, right? It was, we don't need 8 guys in the writing room anymore. We just need 4 because we have ChatGPT 4.0.
Correct. That was one of the elements in the strike. And that's one of the tensions in this is that people are going to lose their jobs. And that kind of goes back to my point is like, this is not a, you know, these are not startup companies, as you said, these are well-funded companies. And they are ultimately doing this for a commercial purpose. And I think that's why it weighs against this fair use defense those companies have, even if there's, you know, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of artists or writers who contributed to training these. I think there's a way to set up some kind of royalty-based system or some kind of fee-based system that it could be made affordable to compensate those people for the use of their work as training material. So,
or democratize it to the people and then make the big corporations, the big movie houses, or the big companies pay a fee.
Right. And the writer's strike, the settlement of it, as I understand it, and I wasn't involved in that, limits how much of that they can use for purposes like that. It also, with the actors, it also limited and required payment if you take an actor who's passed away and still uses image to finish the film. If he died while it was filming, those actors are going to be compensated. And by analogy, the writers whose work is being used and lose their jobs, there should be some compensation for their contribution, even if AI took it farther.
Oh, good. That feels like a nice safeguard because I am such a Luddite with regards to technology and just very afraid of AI and critical of its intersection in art. And I've been really sitting with these thoughts because I love technology as tools in other ways. I think that photography revolutionized art rather than stymied creativity. I love conceptualism. Duchamp is one of my favorite artists. And isn't AI iterative of those kinds of pursuits? And yet AI to me feels almost like it bastardizes or certainly stymies creativity. So I wonder why that is. Maybe it's just because we don't have the luxury of time to see how AI actually functions. Right now, it just feels like it's looming in a way that's a little frightening, at least for me. But there is a gallery, I'm sure at this point there are multiple, that only represents completely AI artists and the work is completely AI. And that for me seems to be the distinction, because Duchamp, even though he utilized the pre-made, he still, there was a form of creativity in reorienting the urinal, for instance, and then labeling it fountain. Or with minimalism, these artists like Donald Judd and Carl Andre, they didn't touch anything. They didn't want a single fingerprint to be in the work, and they outsourced to a manufacturer, but that manufacturer was still a human. And I think for me, what feels potentially pernicious is that these machines are not generating ideas. It's an amalgam of ideas that others have put forth. And with those ideas that we don't really regulate, there's a lot of bias. And I just wonder how that is going to impact the AI art. And I guess that there wasn't really a question in there, but just my own self-confusion as to why I'm so afraid of this when I love photography so much and I find so much value in conceptualism, but not this.
Well, I think it's daunting. You know, it's daunting from a perspective of where we're moving so fast. Like, it's like you listen to Elon Musk talk about it, or, you know, Tristan, or a lot of the experts in this field, and you're hearing the same thing, which is like, it's moving too fast. It's doing things unlike what you're saying that have not been programmed. So there's a lot of stuff it's doing. It's figuring out ways to problem solve that they were never programmed to problem solve and stuff like that. But as an artist, I can't call a guy who's sitting there doing prompts an artist. He's a prompt guy. He can't go with me to a figure drawing class and draw the figure. He can't sit there at a still life or do en plein air with me. He can't create an idea from his, you know, brain to his pencil. He's just a guy who's good at prompting. So I cannot consider that art by its definition. I understand your understanding of minimalism and your analogy that you use, but I would say this is so just anybody could do it. All you have to do is get good at prompting. And that's unfortunate that people are calling themselves artists. And a lot of people do. And also there's a lot of people that are really pissed off who have dedicated their entire lives to becoming great and putting in hard work, who now are sitting next to somebody who's just prompting.
Just for a slightly different perspective on this, there is some middle ground. There's going to be, and there's already a few of them, there's going to be some artists who are more traditional artists, but are going to use AI as a component to help enhance their art. And certainly there should be a place for that. I mean, artists use all kinds of tools and all kinds of medium to express themselves. And if AI can help, you know, tweak something or do something under the hands of a gifted artist, I think there may be ways to take art forward where there's some merger of both, you know, artistic creation enhanced by a computer without being the computer doing the full creation. And that's going to be where some really interesting places that this may go. And from the legal perspective, there's, in terms of whether or not that's going to be copyrightable, the answer is going to be probably, as long as the human had, you know, more than 50% and was the actual bulk of the creator, if it's just assisted by the AI, sure, there's no reason why that wouldn't be subject to copyright protection. And the Copyright Office is going to come up with, and they're trying to implement rules now, where you're going to have to describe what the artist did versus what the computer generated. And the protection will apply, number one, to the whole thing, but the portion that was computer created would probably not be considered subject to copyright protection.
I was just going to ask you, can you get a partial copyright for something? But I guess not, from what I'm understanding of your assessment.
Well, there's going to be a copyright in the whole artwork, provided there was significant human contribution to it. But the portion, if it's separable so that the portion which was created by the computer is identifiable, that portion would probably not be subject to protection, meaning somebody else could copy that portion without having to compensate the artist. But the copyright would apply to the whole, but not the portion that was computer generated, assuming you can separate it out. And that's going to be the concept. In actual practice, separating it out may be possible or may not be possible, depending on what's created.
And you're going to definitely have an AI only artist that becomes famous, like the first right. computer celebrated AI famous painter. You'll have that eventually.
I did a little checking beforehand, and I had come across last spring there was a World Photography Organization where Sony sponsored an award, and quote, the story at the time was kind of as a lark, an artist entered a piece that was AI created, and that piece ended up being the winner. Well, had won it, but the artist withdrew himself from consideration after admitting it was AI created after it was announced that he was going to win. So, so there are artworks out there that have been computer created that professionals have judged as being pretty impressive.
But a tool without a prompt, you can't create anything without that. So I see it as really complicated, because even though I'm glad that that photographer withdrew the work, but it seems like he still was integral in what the work ended up looking like because of these prompts.
Generally.
Oh, how sad, how fast you fall, Lizzie, into this trap.
You know,
you were like, I would never, I fear it so much, but let me justify this right now for everybody.
Professorial conversation, my friend.
Oh gosh.
Taking over my role. She's arguing both sides. That's not an easy question to answer, but generally I would view the prompt as being conceptual and not actually generating the artwork. And therefore the concept is not subject to copyright. So I don't think just entering a prompt gets you there. Having said that, that is being reviewed, and depending on how detailed the prompts are, et cetera. And what I've told you so far is just the view as a copyright lawyer in the United States. I do know other countries have taken slightly different views. In Europe and the UK, I believe they're a little more liberal of saying that if the artist set it up, then he may have a copyright. And it goes back to pre-AI days, that Naruto case, which was the, again, the monkey who took the selfie. Under UK copyright law, it was argued and was found fairly persuasive that the artist or the photographer had set up the values in terms of the aperture and the lighting and some other things, so that when the monkey picked it up and hit the shutter, that was his creative input, and that should be sufficient for copyright protection. And while in the United States court said absolutely not, the UK courts were more amenable to hearing that, and that maybe it would qualify elsewhere. In other words, these are very difficult subjects. There's no definitive rulings yet. And around the world, not everybody views these issues exactly the same way. But there is some difficult line drawing going on. So,
and nobody believes that animals should have rights, obviously.
That's a whole, spiders. What about the spider installation at the Rijksmuseum?
There was a famous installation by an artist at the Rijksmuseum. I was fortunate to be able to see it about a year ago, where he had done an artistic installation and let certain types of spiders in a framework he put up generate spider webs, which was he considered to be a piece of artwork, and it was highly creative and interesting. But again, it was, in my view, the spiders who did most of the work. And so
that guy couldn't do a spider web if you paid him $1 billion.
He set up the environment and he set up the framework and he selected the type of spiders, and
I set up the framework right in the corner of my house.
Protection. I'm sure the artist might disagree.
Ira, I have a couple of spider webs in the house that I've set up. They're installations. Nobody sees them, but I mean, this is just a horrible problem with the contemporary world, by the way. It's just that, no, it is really true. It is really on the back of, you know, other people or technology, but not someone's own unique vision of the world. It's based on the machine learned visions. That's an amalgamation. And Ira, I mean, I've read quite a bit about AI, and it seems like they take from anywhere and everywhere, from like social media, any kind of data that they can grab, from traffic lights to X-ray. I mean, it seems like they just completely grab anything anywhere, and that's how ChatGPT or all these open source AI systems work, right? I mean, there's crazy.
ChatGPT especially, and that was what I'm going to call generation one of AI. So in my world, they're talking about AI systems to generate legal documents. And if you go to ChatGPT and generate a legal document, it'll spit one out for you. But you know, I question how good it is, and I've seen some of them, and they don't have the experience of an experienced lawyer. However, what's happening with down the road is that there are law firms that are buying the artificial intelligence engine, and then they're training that on their own documents, which were created by skilled lawyers. And so if AI has that kind of database to train on, it probably would generate something that's comparable to the level of the input. It's the age-old problem of computer software. If you put garbage in, you get garbage out. If you put high-quality, selected training materials that are truly focused on one issue, and the database is really good information, then yes, AI systems will generate, you know, product that is probably comparable to what was, to the quality that was put in. So, you know, if there's an AI system where they just generate some of the world's best artists as starting points, then the output might actually be pretty darn good.
Well, that is so terrifying to me.
That's where what's going to be coming in the future is that the people, you know, ChatGPT is quick and easy, but it's based on everything on the internet, and the quality on the internet ranges from some good stuff to a lot of stuff that isn't very good. And when it amalgamates all this, the output is usually pretty average at best.
And what you're saying seems to be what I'm hearing, which is like, if you want to develop an AI system, there's already an engine for it that you can then enrich with your own data, metadata, right? So like, and then white label it. So all of a sudden it becomes, put the sticker on, it's Lizzie Daston's information or your law firm. But the question is, from a legal perspective, because it was trained on other data that you are then enriching with your data, doesn't it mean that the other data is not copyright protected? And there's a weird area there because you're building upon other people's information that you're then enriching and then labeling, white labeling. Does that make sense?
I think so. The question is really though, what data is that system trained on? And what output are you expecting? And if it becomes specialized in terms of both the training data that goes in and what's done, then you may get a pretty high quality output.
But isn't that a copyright infringement then? But because if you're enriching it on data that's already there, that's not your data. You're just enriching it with your own. But the other data was stolen.
Well enough versed in the original data that to create the AI system, but I don't think so. Because I think you can tailor pick. The neural network, which underlies this, is just a source code technology. And that's like Microsoft writing source code. Mm-hmm. And then in order to develop it, you've got to give it training data. So if the training data in the legal perspective is all my law firm stuff, clearly I've given permission to do it. So there's no copyright issue because it's my source material going in. Mm-hmm. So that's it. So again, if you've got, a selective group of artists who decide to create their own AI system and they all put their own artwork in and give permission, then that eliminates the copyright issues. Because I mean, the easiest way around the copyright issues is to get permission. So if these AI systems had gotten permission, if ChatGPT didn't scrape the web but paid everybody for permission to use their materials, there'd be no issue, at least as to that issue.
I have a really crazy story to tell you guys that I think it's a byproduct of this conversation, especially with text and ChatGPT. So last semester, I was grading an exam and this text, it sounded really familiar. And I realized that was text that I had written that I think the student got from ChatGPT because it was online. And I didn't really know what to do. Or I guess it could have been full on plagiarism, but based on the languaging, it was mine. It was my ideas, but it wasn't exactly my wording. And so I felt like it was generated as this amalgam from ChatGPT. And it was just so strange seeing this pastiche of something that was initially my original. So
that's one of the issues in the New York Times versus OpenAI case, is that not only the presumption is, and what the AI systems want you to believe, is that whatever they spit out is quote, original based on their putting together the original stuff. But if you give the prompts too specifically, like if you say, give me a painting similar to what, you know, Michelangelo did, okay, and it spits out something that is a virtual copy of a Michelangelo painting, then there's no question it's copyright infringement. It has to, the presumption is that, no, it's this amalgam and it's creating its own thing based on all of this learning. But sometimes if you learn and you take a direct quote, you know, in the text world, if you take a direct quote out of Shakespeare, it's going to be, you know, assuming Shakespeare was still subject to copyright, it would be copyright infringement because you took a substantial amount of their content and didn't change it at all. And AI systems sometimes do that. If you take, you know, if you give it a prompt specific enough, it'll spit out something that is a substantial copy of a pre-existing work. If it does that, there should be no question that that is an infringement of the copyright.
So did you give them an F or an A? Like an A, I mean, because it was yours? Right.
The writing was brilliant. Yeah. I was just trying to grade based on the concepts. Grading for me has been really challenging right now because you can often tell when students are utilizing ChatGPT because it's not specifically addressing your prompt. But unfortunately, the writing that I had done did specifically address my prompt. And so I think that's why this server was able to pull it. So I just try to grade the human experiences that I have with them in chat rooms more than I do the assignments. I think it's an inevitability. And I also have to try to take ego out of it. And if this is how students want to use their time in college, then it's not really mine to tell them otherwise. But I just think that it's breeding laziness. And also with art, there's just something so majestic that I feel is being lost if we are scrubbing the internet. But I like these solutions. The fact that there could be these separate smaller search engines that compensate the artist, and if there is consent, that sounds like it's a good middle ground. And I didn't think before this conversation that there was a middle ground. So I feel a lot more heartened thinking that that could be possible. But I hope that lawmakers or whoever makes these decisions, that they really act in service of the original.
He wants to feel safe. You want to feel safe.
If I can just, that raises another, though, ethical issue is that in some instances, it's very hard to tell whether something was human created or whether it was AI created. And you have instances of, you know, a student who's supposed to create a unique piece of artwork and they get lazy and have AI spit it out and claim they did it themselves. Obviously, that would be unethical in an educational environment. And in other environments, you know, it might be some kind of fraud or other kind of legal action if somebody's misrepresenting something as being original to them when it was not, and it's created by artificial intelligence.
There's no way 95% of students are not using ChatGPT. I mean, they're just doing it because it's there, and you know, they're inundated with work, and it just cuts their time down tremendously. And it's this incredible machine that has everything. I mean, even if they're just using it for 70% of their paper, they're using it.
Justin, have you ever used AI, even if it's just playing around?
I played around with Midjourney. I've played around with DALL-E. I played around with ChatGPT. I am not able to get what I want in certain situations. I definitely see people spitting out work that looks like my work, that looks like it's been inspired by my work, and you know, it's manneristic or elongated. But I notice that people prompt my stuff, and you know, I have copyright issues and trademark issues across the board. I mean, my statues that I did with Sideshow Collectibles were, you know, they told me that some of the most ripped off stuff they'd ever done, and they work with Star Wars and DC and all kinds of copyright trademarks. And so, you know, I'm not mad at, like, I see my stuff all the time. I mean, I had a friend go into a shop in Vietnam, and he said they were just painting my work. I mean, it was an entire shop dedicated to painting my work. And I've seen it myself on the street, and I'm like, dude, you're selling my work. They're like, nah, this is a Bua. And I'm like, I'm Bua. They're like, what? You know, I've seen it. It's been happening, but that's such a low level hustle. When you see, once again, it brings me to Google and Meta. These are trillion dollar giants. These are monsters. And so why do they need, why the need for them to spearhead this when they know, you know, in some capacity, in a narrow-minded way, they're like, oh, this is the democratization of art and literature. But it's really, you're really cutting the food off. You're closing down the ports to feed the children. You know, these, a lot of artists, because I can imitate my buildings, for example, pretty well on AI, on Midjourney. Like, and I could do it fast. So like, if I was in production again on like my Comedy Central show or whatever, I would be spitting out environments. So I would need less visual development artists, and I would need, you know, I would probably have one production designer for sure, but I would let less VizD, less actual guys who are doing the painting. I see the areas that it would cut down. So there's a matter of time before they start spitting out very, very good compositions and very good paintings of mine. You know, right now it's got an extra finger. It's getting better. It's getting better all the time. I've noticed that, like, every time I try it. And I have friends in the industry who are like advertising firms and other production houses, and they do use it. And I see that it's coming, but it's far for me. But it does worry me, because I know it's a tsunami. I know it. And it's going to change everything. And it's not going to change everything like Nader changed photography, right? Like, you know, see, oh, Degas was influenced by photography, and Whistler was influenced, and all these artists were influenced to greater effect. Manet was influenced, but no, this is not that. This is something nefarious. That's my opinion.
Well, on that note, Ira, yeah, thank you so much for for sharing all of your wisdom, your original wisdom, and yes, it wasn't AI generated. So we appreciate that. And I guess this will just be part one. We'll have to see how this all manifests and what these courts decide. But I think the Wild Wild West description is exactly where we are. And there's something exciting about that too.
Yes, Ira, thank you for your wisdom and your knowledge and informing us, because it's very confusing. And, you know, thank you for clearing up a lot of what I was confused about.
Thank you for having me on your show. I enjoyed this.
Absolutely.